News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, talks are continuing between Dublin, London and Belfast this week following last week's violence and unrest in Northern Ireland. Simon Coveney, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, joins us on the line from London. Hey, Minister, just tell us why you're in the UK, what you're hoping to achieve.
Well, first of all, I'm in the UK because we need to be working closely together with the British government on a whole series of things at the moment, whether it's our role on the UN Security Council or perhaps more importantly now, in the context of Northern Ireland and the Brexit-related protocol for Northern Ireland and Ireland. As people have seen on the news, there has been a lot of tension and division in Northern Ireland. We need to find a way of calming that down, listening to loyalist and unionist communities in particular to try to do what we can to respond to legitimate concerns. And so I'm here to speak to David Frost, who's the key British government minister and negotiator in relation to the protocol, and Brandon Lewis, who's the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, and also Dominic Raab, who's the Foreign Secretary. So, you know, for the last 12 months, it's been difficult to formally visit London for obvious reasons linked to COVID restrictions. But it is, I think, a necessity now for me to be here and to try to work out a way forward.
Does that involve potentially a change to the protocol, or is that cast in stone as far as you're concerned?
Well, look, I think it's important to be clear here. I mean, the Irish government doesn't determine the future of the protocol. Of course, we have an influence and we work with the European Commission all the time. And I speak to Maros Sefcovic, who's the key commissioner here on the European side, on a regular basis. And David Frost is visiting Brussels this evening. So I think it is very timely that that I'm meeting David Frost today to really outline the European perspective in relation to the protocol.
The DUP MP Geoffrey Donaldson criticised you at the weekend, saying you were dismissive of unionist concerns and accused you of lecturing them in regards to the protocol. Your response to that?
Well, I mean, all I can say is that, I mean, we're available for meetings all the time with all political parties in Northern Ireland and indeed with business leaders as well. We're constantly trying to reach out to listen to concerns.
Does all of this show and the events of the last couple of weeks, do they demonstrate that it's far too early to be talking about a border poll?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's the calls for a border poll now are not helpful. You know, we've got to try to make the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement work. They haven't been working in recent months. There's real tension in Northern Ireland. There's a real concern and real worry amongst many leaders, both at a community level and a political level in Northern Ireland, as to what is likely to unfold over the summer months. You know, we're a few weeks away from recognising the existence of Northern Ireland, which is 100 years old. I think that in itself has the potential to cause tension. We then look ahead to a summer when we're not going to see COVID restrictions keeping people in their homes, where there may well be a very difficult marching season and a bonfire season. And, you know, we have seen in recent weeks real tension on the ground in the streets of Belfast and indeed other parts of Northern Ireland as well. So our focus has to be on calming things down, ensuring that the two governments are working together as they need to in the context of the Good Friday Agreement.
Minister, just before we let you go, two very quick things. A bit of good news yesterday with the 545,000 Pfizer shots that will be delivered before the end of June. The papers seem to be reporting today Ireland on track for further easing of COVID restrictions from early May onwards. Are you optimistic that that will be the case also?
I am. And, you know, I think there's been so much difficult news in recent months that I think it is important to try to see the bigger picture here. You know, we now have less than 200 people in hospital. We have less than 50 people in ICU. We have, you know, a million vaccine doses in people's arms. We have, you know, a million of our children back to school. You know, 20% now are very close to it. Of the population over the age of 16 have had their first dose of vaccine. You know, we are moving in the right direction. Of course, there are setbacks. And we've seen setbacks this week in relation to AstraZeneca, again, in terms of what NIAC have recommended in terms of limiting its use. We've seen a setback in relation to Janssen, Johnson & Johnson. A lot of people in government were really looking forward to the Janssen vaccine coming on stream, because of course you only need one dose of the Janssen vaccine, so it's got a double benefit, if you like. I still think we're likely to see the benefits of Janssen in the not too distant future, but every time there is a setback, there's a need for an adjustment in terms of our rollout numbers and management. We had a really positive news story then yesterday, coming directly from the President of the European Commission, who rang the Taoiseach in the middle of a cabinet meeting. I think that was a real boost to get confirmation of, 540,000 more Pfizer vaccines, because I think there's a huge amount of faith and trust in Pfizer and BioNTech. They have delivered everything that they promised so far. So you know, I think we are on track. And, you know, as the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach confirmed yesterday, you know, we still think as a government that there's going to be somewhere between 3.5 million and 4.5 million doses of vaccine delivered by the end of June. And that is enough. That is comfortably enough, actually, if you're at the higher end of that. To ensure that 4 out of 5 adults in Ireland that are looking for a vaccine will actually have their first dose by the end of June. So you know, things are moving in the right direction, even though I know it's been hugely demanding for so many families and individuals.
Final question, Minister. An awful lot of talk as well about the government's mandatory hotel quarantine and handling of that. A lot of criticism from the opposition. Interesting comments as well from your own brother, who's a very well-respected businessman, talking about incompetence and lack of foresight and likening mandatory hotel quarantine to prison. What's your take on that?
Well, look, first of all, there's a reason why no other countries in the European Union are doing mandatory hotel quarantine, because it's really difficult to do, you know, and we've decided, and I think it's the right decision, to use mandatory hotel quarantine for the highest risk individuals who are coming into Ireland, who are coming from countries primarily that have variants of concern. And we want to make sure that we're not importing those problems. And also countries outside the European Union that have very high incidence of COVID, so that we're not effectively reseeding the problem, after we've successfully reduced the numbers. So, but like, make no mistake about it, and we've spoken to New Zealand about this a lot, operating a large mandatory hotel quarantine system is not easy. It's particularly not easy for Ireland, which is so interconnected. We share a landmass with the United Kingdom in the context of Northern Ireland, and we don't control things in Northern Ireland from an international travel perspective. We're part of a single market. There's nothing easy about planning for or delivering mandatory hotel quarantine.
I think that's absolutely fair.
What we're doing at the
enough.
Moment, though, Shane, is we are going to make this system work. We are increasing capacity. Unfortunately, we've had to stall the taking of bookings for 4 days to make sure that we put capacity in place next week. We're going to go from 654 rooms at the moment to 964 rooms from next Monday to 1,300 rooms from the following Monday.
This is
hugely inconvenient for the travelling public. We know that. This is a temporary measure that's not going to last forever. And we are, of course, going to continue to monitor. And we had a good discussion on this yesterday in Cabinet. We're going to monitor whether we can improve the system as we go. So, for example, we're going to consider whether or not people who've been vaccinated should have to go into mandatory hotel quarantine. And hopefully we'll be able to make a decision on that soon.
Okay.
We're going to look at the appeal system to make sure that real humanitarian cases can be accommodated, but at the same time we've got to maintain a robust
and Minister, look, I know you're very close to your brother and to your family, but can I take it you disagree with him on this particular
point? Family thing, I mean, I've got five brothers and one sister, and believe me, they all think for themselves and speak for themselves.
Fair enough.
He's a big boy, he'll speak for himself. That's not my job.
Yeah, fair enough. We do live in a republic where everyone is entitled to their opinion. Simon Coveney, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, thank you indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.